You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? As always, it's your boy, Sosa Cremenges. I'm a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is going to be another good one, but before we dive into it, I just wanted to remind you guys that NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to your Thursday episode here at the Locked On Rams podcast. We're finishing up another five-episode week very strongly here. We got some interesting topics to dive into today. I wanted to dive into a piece written over at PFF ranking the top 32 contracts in the NFL currently. And obviously, if we're doing that, the Rams do have one contract on there. Probably a little bit surprising to most fans, though. And then in addition to that, I also wanted to dive into sort of this fun aspect of the Rams that they got going on right now, and it's something to do with their recruiting efforts of the players that are currently on the team, but we're going to dive into that in the second and final segments. First, I wanted to begin with this piece from PFF from a friend of the podcast and one of my colleagues, Brad Spielberger, PFF underscore Brad. You guys probably remember we had him on here to discuss the Rams and their free agent acquisitions and their potential plans to, you know, restructure guys and maybe guys that they could cut, things like that. And he nailed every single player and move. So clearly a guy who knows what he's talking about. Now, ranking these top 32 contracts, at number 24, he has right tackle Rob Havenstein on his four-year, $32.5 million deal with no remaining guarantees. Ranked as the 24th best in the entire league, which is obviously a good thing. Now, talking about it, he wrote, "The Rams offensive line has had its struggles in recent years, but primarily on the interior, as Havenstein and 40-year-old lineman Andrew Whitworth have manned the bookends admirably. Havenstein has been a top 10 right tackle per WAR, which means wins above replacement, since signing this deal, but the more impressive aspect here was the timing on the front end. The Rams smartly inked Havenstein, their second-round selection in 2015, to an early extension following his third season, and his $8.125 million per year average was the highest among all right tackle signings that offseason. The following offseason in 2019, five right tackles signed for $10 million or more per year, including Trent Brown and Lane Johnson, signing for more than double Havenstein's figure in terms of per year averages." Now, that is interesting to note because the first thing is the Rams, we know that they like to pay guys early, and oftentimes it has backfired on them. You think back to the days of Tavon Austin or a Todd Gurley, a Jared Goff, a Brandon Cooks. All of these deals more or less imploded on them because ultimately they ended up paying these guys a little bit earlier than they probably should have. And then, you know, they all eventually got dealt away and the Rams got left with a lot of dead money on their cap that they're even suffering from this year. So that was, you know, some of the times when the Rams tried this extend early to get out ahead and it failed miserably on them. But when you look at Havenstein here, and Brad mentions it, they got out ahead like they typically do with a lot of their other players, guys that they find to be cornerstone pieces of the franchise. And it actually worked out positively this time, even though I feel like a lot of fans probably don't really realize how good of a player Havenstein is. Now, you know, he's not necessarily elite, and I don't think that, you know, if you ask 31 fan bases across the league who is the starting right tackle for the Rams, they probably would have no idea who he is. But that's oftentimes a good thing because that probably means that he's not giving up a ton of sacks. And not only that, but he's just been very consistent. I feel like you know exactly what you're getting out of Have week in, week out, and that's going to be a solid to very good pass protector and a guy that's going to be able to contribute in the running game because he's big, he's strong, he can move for a guy that's his size, who's, you know, 6'8", 335, which is pretty hard to do when you're that big. But this is a guy who's not a liability for the Rams in any way, and Brad mentioned it in his little write-up here too. Whitworth and Havenstein on the boundaries at tackle as your bookends, you could do a lot worse. In my opinion, that's got to be, you know, off the top of my head, maybe one of the top five pairings in the NFL, top six pairings, something like that, because Both guys are very solid. Andrew Whitworth is going to be a future Hall of Fame tackle and is still a top three, top five tackle in football. And Havenstein is probably still a top seven, top eight right tackle in the league. So you're talking about two guys that are actually quality players. And then you look at the numbers from PFF last year. Havenstein, 636 pass blocking snaps, only gave up four sacks on the season, which did lead the team actually. But at the same time, you know, he only allowed five hits, 18 total hurries, 20 times was beaten by the defender across from him, 27 pressures in total. That ranked third behind Austin Corbett and Austin Blythe. And his pass blocking efficiency, 97.6, which was one of the higher figures on the team. So this is clearly a guy who is a average to above average pass protector, depending on which year you look at in his career, and a guy who's usually one of the better run blocking tackles in the NFL. And I think that's enough for the Rams to not only value him and to try and keep him around for the foreseeable future, but it's also a good thing that they have him locked in for relatively cheap. I mean, he's locked in for $8.3 million this year, which is the fourth highest figure on the team. But like Brad mentioned in his write-up, there is no guaranteed money left on this deal, not in this season in 2021, nor in next year in 2022. So the Rams can essentially do a lot of different things with him, whether that means to extend him or restructure or trade or cut, whatever the case is. Literally every option is open in the book for them right now. But at the end of the day, you're still looking at a good player. So there's really going to be no incentive for the Rams to try and move on from a guy like this. Even though I know a lot of fans did speculate, you know, going back maybe 2 or 3 months ago prior to free agency, thinking that the Rams need money, maybe Havenstein is a guy that the Rams could look to trade or cut or whatever the case was. And I don't think that they ever realistically thought of that as an option. I think they like him as a player. This is a guy that, you know, they plug in at that right tackle spot. And more often than not, he's going to give you 15, 16 games of solid and consistent play. Not a hole on the roster, maybe not an elite player either, but his pay doesn't reflect that he's an elite player, nor can you have 53 elite players or 25 elite starters on any given team. And I think the Rams are very, very happy with what they have in Havenstein. And it makes a lot of sense that he makes this list. It's good to see that the Rams do still have some contract positives, because over the last few years, it's been a lot of negatives when it comes to signing players and paying players. But that is not an issue in this deal. And it could be an issue, maybe, maybe not, with some free agent signings potentially coming for the Rams. I don't know, but we are going to talk about somebody on the team, defensive tackle Aaron Donald, lobbying to add potentially another pass rusher to this unit. We're going to dive into which player, and it's somebody that I've mentioned in the past, and maybe make our case for why the Rams should look into adding him in the next segment. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMEP and the page at Locked On Rams. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NBA and NHL playoffs are live. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the second segment of this Thursday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I appreciate you guys for listening to another episode here. And I did tease you guys leaving you before the break with defensive tackle Aaron Donald dropping a tweet last night trying to lobby to get another good pass rusher that is currently a free agent on the open market to come join the Rams. And it's somebody that I have mentioned many times as one of my number one wish list free agents this whole offseason, and that is former Los Angeles Chargers edge rusher Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram, I guess it was a tweet sent by maybe the NFL Network Twitter account or whatever the case was, and Aaron Donald quote tweeted it with an eyeball emoji, basically suggesting that he thinks the Rams should be in play to go add this guy. And I talked about it all offseason prior to free agency kicking off. I think Ingram would be the perfect addition for a team like the Rams. Now, I don't think that they are going to necessarily be interested in adding anybody right now. Their cap space is at just under $7 million, so not a ton of money. And you would think that if they wanted to add him by now, they already would have, or we would have at least heard about a scheduled visit or something like that. But been nothing like that on the books. As far as I know, Melvin Ingram did visit. I want to say it was the Kansas City Chiefs, and there might have been another team in there, but I can't recall for sure. Obviously, he remains unsigned, so still available to add, you know, himself to another roster. But when you look at what he's brought to the Chargers since 2012 through 2020, he played there for quite a few years, nearly a decade, 49 career sacks. His career high in a season was 10.5, which he got back in 2015 as well as 2017. And, you know, the beginning of his career was a little bit rough. He had a lot of injury issues. First 3 years was sort of like a write-off. He only had a total of 6 sacks throughout those 3 seasons. But after that is when he really developed and became one of the more feared pass rushers and one of the more complete edge players in the NFL. 2015 through 2019, we'll say, because 2020, he only played in 7 games last year. It was truly a bad season for him, a contract season, but it ultimately turned out to be a very, very bad one for him. Only appeared in 7 games, no sacks, pretty much had almost no impact across the box score statistics on the field. Wasn't a great season for him or a great finish to his end with the Chargers. But when you look at 2015 through 2019, those 5 seasons were very productive for him. He had 43 sacks over that span of time. You're looking at a guy that had, you know, over 60 tackles for loss, 92 quarterback hits, 2 interceptions, 77 games played, 10 forced fumbles. This is a guy who was once one of the more feared pass rushers in football. And so I do understand that there is some concern. You know, he's on the wrong side of 30 now. He's about 32 years old. And his most recent film, his most recent production, or I guess lack of, in 2020, maybe could be signaling that his body is slowing down a little bit. Maybe he's not, you know, capable of playing 60 or 70 snaps a game or 17 games a season anymore. I'm not 100% certain on these things, but maybe, you know, that's why teams are a little bit more apprehensive. He could also be looking for a little bit more money than teams are willing to pay at this point in time. Again, not 100% sure, but we do know that, you know, this season with the whole COVID salary cap impact, there's a lot less money going around. And Ingram is a guy that has played in the NFL for a long time. He's made Pro Bowls 3 times to be exact. He's obviously got a lot of money tucked away. He doesn't exactly need to play for money anymore, so he can take his time to find the team that's going to give him the best shot to win a Super Bowl. But I think the Rams can be exactly that. You look at the edge rusher position for them, it's not that great. They have Leonard Floyd, who they paid a lot of money to bring back, but he's not really a consistent pass rushing threat. He's never been that over the course of his career. He's a great run defender, and he can chip in every now and again with a few sack performance, but never going to be a consistent guy that's going to pressure quarterbacks snap after snap or week after week. And outside of him, things look very bleak for the Rams at the edge spot. I think you could make the argument that maybe the edge spot is one of the weakest positions, if not the weakest position on the Rams right now. If not that, I guess it would be inside linebacker, but I think edge has to be right up there, because outside of Floyd, you have a complete question mark in Obo Okoronkwo. We don't really know what he is at this point. He can't stay healthy. We know that Terrell Lewis is a guy that we can't rely on to be healthy. So a lot of question marks there. Behind those guys, you really, really start to become thin. And if you have to rely on one of those two players in Obo or Terrell Lewis, where are you really as a pass rushing unit? You're looking at two guys that it would probably be considered a long shot to expect to play 17 games and then 2 or 3 or 4 more in the playoffs. And not just that, but even if they can suit up, can these guys be impact players? Like, we really don't know how good they are or what they bring to the table just yet, because neither guy has been proven. So I think an Ingram would make this defense leaps and bounds better. I think the front 7 would significantly become a lot more of a strength and would become a lot deeper and stronger as a pass rushing unit. And ultimately, I think if Aaron Donald wants it, he should get it, because this is a guy who always keeps his mouth shut. He's never going to throw his teammates under the bus. He's not really a player that's going to go out and recruit like that, in at least in a public forum like he does on Twitter right now. And I think it kind of suggests that he really wants some help as a pass rusher, because this is a guy who's going to get double and triple teamed every other snap. We know that. That's been the case forever for him. And I'm sure at this point in his career, he wants as much help and as many one-on-one or two-on-one opportunities as he can possibly get, because he can only do this for so long. And not only that, but he's only capable of doing what his job is. And everyone else around him, if they're not stepping up, the Rams pass rushing unit looks to be like a unit that maybe isn't as strong as we would hope. And going into the most important games, the playoffs, you know, the NFC Championship game, you look at some of these other teams, you look at the Super Bowl last year, the Buccaneers won that game by having a consistent pass rush. You know, Patrick Mahomes could never really sit in the pocket, get comfortable, and it was snap after snap after snap where that defensive line was getting after him. And do the Rams have that kind of depth? Can they compete with those kind of teams where you look at the Bucs, they have a Jason Pierre-Paul, they draft a first-round pick in Joe Tryon in an edge spot, they have a Shaq Barrett, they have so many pass rushers. The Rams don't really have that kind of depth at the edge spot. So I think this is definitely a move they should look into making. I don't know if they're 100% satisfied with who they currently have on the roster. Maybe that is the case. But if you're looking at a team that is ready to compete for a Super Bowl right now and wants to make that final push, I definitely think that Melvin Ingram could be one of those players that is a realistic available option for the Rams that could take them over the top going into next season. That is not the only player that is currently throwing forth his recruiting efforts. Cornerback Jalen Ramsey continues to do the same, and we're going to dive into who he wants to add to this defense in the final segment. And while we've got you, make sure to check back for tomorrow's episode at the Locked On Rams podcast when my colleague at PFF, Andrew Erickson, joins me to break down the Rams and their fantasy football outlook going into next season. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I was on the lookout for the best protein bar while I was going through my weight loss journey, and I found a company called the Built Bar, and I'm telling you guys, the Built Bar is unlike any other protein bar on the market. They taste absolutely delicious. They have so many different flavors that you could choose from, and the texture is unlike any other protein bar I've ever tried. The bars are also healthy. They're low in calories. They're low in sugar. They have 19 grams of protein per bar. They're high in fiber, and they even work for you on a keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, how did the Clippers let the Suns do that? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. All you have to do, follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment of this Thursday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I'm your host, Sosa Cremenges, and I appreciate you guys for making it this far into the episode. And I'm sure if you're still tuned in by now, you really want to hear what cornerback Jalen Ramsey of the Los Angeles Rams is doing next, because this is a guy who's not kept his mouth real quiet since he joined the Rams. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You have, you know, the on-field personality where he's going to talk his trash. He's going to get in guys' heads. He's going to let guys know about, you know, who he is as a player and what his performance is like in that said game. And that's obviously awesome. I think everyone loves it because, let's be honest, this guy is a dominant corner. He has every right to let everyone know what he's about. But not only that, off the field, he's done as much as he's possibly capable of this whole offseason trying to recruit all the players to Los Angeles to come join the Rams and to try and build a legitimate Super Bowl roster. He's talked about it on Instagram. He's done it on Twitter. He wants to win a ring in the worst way. And I absolutely love that because this is clearly a guy who's starved for team success. He wants to be the best personally and as a team. And the ultimate goal is to win a ring. So if you can try and have that same type of atmosphere or offseason that the Rams had in 2018, where, you know, they're bringing in the Dante Fowlers, the Brandon Cooks, the Aqib Talibs, the Marcus Peters, and then they go get, you know, an Adomican Sue through free agency, and everyone starts to buy in, you really become this team that starts to believe that you can make that run. And you look at that season, they made the run. They obviously didn't finish it off in the Super Bowl, but they got there, and that was the ultimate goal, is to get there and give yourself a chance. So now you look at what Ramsey is doing in his recruiting efforts, and I'm trying to think off of the top of my head. I mean, he was caping for the Julio Jones trade, or, you know, trying to get Julio Jones to LA, and there were a couple of other players that I can't recall now, but Deshaun Watson, it felt like, all these other superstars that were available, and the most recent being cornerback Stephon Gilmore of the New England Patriots. It sounds like Gilmore is going to hold out from their OTAs and mini camps and things like that. He wants a new deal, apparently, and I'm sure that he deserves it because we're talking about, you know, one of the best cornerbacks in football over the past 5, 6, maybe 7 years, and he's currently only making $13 million per year. And that's just not a lot. I want to say that's about 15th in the NFL in cornerback pay. You look at some of the other names that have hopped him in pay. Adoree Jackson, I mean, he just got paid $13 million by the Giants. Shaquille Griffin, same thing in this past offseason, $13.3 million per year. William Jackson, another one that just signed, $13.5 million per year. And I mentioned it, Stephon Gilmore, this is a guy who's been a top three, top four, top two corner, maybe the best corner in the NFL since he joined the Patriots in 2017. PFF grades of 83.0 in 2017, 90.9 in 2018, 82.7 in 2019, and 61.0 this past season in 2020, a bit of a down season, but this is clearly a guy who is a superstar option, and I don't think anyone's going to argue with you about that. Now, is there any realistic possibility that the Rams go get him? I don't think that there is. You know, this is a guy who's 31 years old now, getting near the end of his career here, not necessarily slowing down. He's probably still got 4 or 5 good seasons in him, but he's in the final year of his contract. He's going to want a new contract with a lot of guarantees and presumably a nice pay raise. And I just don't think the Rams can afford that. But on top of that, he's not a free agent. Somebody has to trade for him, and I don't think the Patriots are going to be the kind of team to let him walk for free or be that kind of guy where he's going to dictate where he wants to go and tell them, you know, trade me here or I'm not going to play type of thing. So it doesn't seem realistic to me at all. I don't think the Rams can afford to trade any compensation for him. That's the first issue. The second issue being, can they afford to pay him? I don't think that's realistic either. And so while I love Jalen Ramsey going to bat and trying to get all these superstars to come to LA, this unfortunately is not a situation where I think it's going to be a realistic possibility. And it doesn't need to be. You know, the cornerback position for the Rams is one where they've done a very good job at finding talent and developing guys to become, well, borderline superstars, right? Jalen Ramsey, when he left the Jacksonville Jaguars, he was not at the peak of his game. He had a very rough season there in his final year, and then he comes to the Rams midseason, and obviously he's trying to get his footing down and trying to get healthy. He did have a bit of a back issue back then, and he's trying to learn, you know, this playbook on the go and all this kind of stuff. So I think we can throw out last year, or I should say, you know, 2019 for Jalen Ramsey going to the Rams. I think that wasn't really fair to expect him to just walk in and dominate. But then you look back to last season, he develops right back into this cornerback one. He didn't just rebound. He was the best cornerback in football. Then you look at some of the other names, and they've had a long list of successful cornerbacks going back to the Jeff Fisher days. And this was all under Les Snead, by the way. Janoris Jenkins, who they draft, I believe it was in the second round. Trumaine Johnson, the third round. Both of those guys in a 2012 draft got paid big time by other teams. You look at the New York Giants giving Jenkins a big money deal. The Jets giving Trumaine Johnson the biggest cornerback contract at the time. You look at Troy Hill now getting paid by the Cleveland Browns, one of the better and more productive nickel cornerbacks in football over the past few seasons. And now Darius Williams, another guy who fell out of favor with the Ravens, gets cut. I shouldn't say fell out of favor, but he didn't make the roster. You know, he gets cut. The Rams pick him up. He's on the practice squad. Now he goes to the 53-man roster, develops over time, and is now a top 10 cornerback. We talked about it in Mark Schofield's rankings the other day. I believe it was 2 or 3 episodes ago. He ranked him as a top 10 corner in the NFL. That's how good Darius Williams is. So while I appreciate Jalen Ramsey going out there trying to get as much talent to LA as possible, keep doing it, by the way, because I'm sure at one point he's going to get somebody. I just don't think Stephon Gilmore is a realistic option for the Rams, nor do I think they need him. They do have their boundary corners right now, and Gilmore is a boundary guy. And at the nickel spot, I think they trust their ability to coach up these guys, and so I think David Long is a player that they really expect to excel in this role or step up and start to be a capable contributor and producer for the team. And I tend to think that they have the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to believe in their ability to breed these corners because they continue to do it year after year effectively. And that is going to be my stance on this take. I'm going to say no on the Gilmore train. But going back to the second segment, I'm all in on Melvin Ingram. If the Rams can find a way to squeeze him in under that salary cap, make the move, make this defense better, fill in one of the biggest remaining holes on the roster, and try to give yourself the best roster possible to go late into this season and to try and make another Super Bowl appearance in 2021/2022. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. As always, I appreciate you guys for tuning back in here and making it to the end of the episode. Like I mentioned on this podcast already, make sure to tune in tomorrow when Andrew Erickson, my colleague at PFF, breaks down the Rams and their fantasy football predictions and projections going into next season. Just a reminder, you can come connect with us on Twitter at QBsMEP and at Locked On Rams. And please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.